Chapter 3. Gallimo. The solar ox juddered again, but not like before. This was the regular strain of warp travel, and something it had been built to withstand. Cheta massaged her temples, intent on the point she had been focused on since she'd set her ship on this course, very determinedly not concentrating on the other things lurking near it. "Prepare for translation," she ordered. "In 10, 9... Warning klaxons sounded. Even inside the navigator's chamber, as Captain Arkaba activated the pre-translation procedure. All through the solar ox, passengers and crew would be bracing themselves. Translations could vary, from a chill feeling in the bones and momentary nausea, to half the ship's occupants clawing at themselves to get the insects out of their veins. And indeed, in extreme cases, the insects might actually manifest physically. It all depended on the translation point. But Jedamande Brabantis had been doing this for decades, and she could sense the exact spot that would bring them out closest to their destination with the least amount of psychic trauma. But it would take split-second timing to ensure they managed it without attracting the attention of the other things.
5, 4, 3...
The safe point shifted suddenly, lurching towards her. Crap! Mark! The solar rocks translated. Cheta felt her teeth swell in her gums, pushing her jaws wider and wider, beginning to split her cheeks. And then it was done, and her face was back to normal with nothing but a phantom ache lurking in the back of her mind.
"That was a little sudden, my lady,"
Anya commented. Her voice sounded loose, as though she was trying to speak through a mouth that her brain insisted was larger than it should be.
"Blame the Emperor damned warp,"
Cheta muttered, rubbing her cheek. The view in front of her showed nothing but pinpricks of light now. Dozens, if not hundreds, of distant stars shining for an apparently unchanging eternity. And the loss of the warp's life and motion was both a relief and an aching absence. Coming back to real space was always like having one of her senses violently disconnected, mainly because that was exactly what had just happened.
"If we did that correctly, we should be in the Gallimo system. What do your readouts say?"
"We..." Cheta heard other voices in the background, those of the bridge crew making reports. "We're picking up location beacons from Gallimo Prime's moons, but nothing from the planet itself. And the system is full of distress signals."
"Don't tell me,"
Cheta said wearily. "Let me guess. They're all saying something along the lines of, where the hell did Gallimo Prime just go?" There was a brief pause before Anya answered her.
"Yes, High Lady."
Cheta sighed and rubbed her two human eyes. She'd hoped that she was wrong. Even as the solar ox had approached the translation point, and she'd perceived the writhing, pulsating forms of the warp psychic predators drawn to the sudden arrival in their midst of tens of billions of souls, she'd hoped that she was wrong. She hadn't been wrong. Gallimo Prime, the largest and most important world in the Gallimo system, had been sucked into the warp, taking all its citizens with it. Right now, on the other side of the veil of reality that separated the material universe from the immaterium, monstrosities the likes of which Anya Arkaba and her warp-blind crewmates couldn't even begin to fathom, were glutting themselves. The solar ox was the merest crumb of a morsel in comparison, and Gela shielded to boot. Their brief dance past the predators and into real space had been, in all likelihood, comparatively safe. But that didn't mean that Cheta was going to tell Anya what it was her helmsman had just steered around, blindly following the directions Cheta had transmitted. There were some things, many things, that the two-eyed was simply better off not knowing.
"How far out are we from where Gallimo Prime would be, if it were here?" Cheta asked.
"Our best estimates suggest 8 hours at sublight, my lady."
"Take us there," Cheta ordered. "I want to look at it from this side, and I'm sure I don't need to tell you this, Captain, but watch out for the moons. With their planet's gravity well gone, who knows where they'll end up."
"Acknowledged, my lady."
"Navigator out," Cheta said, completing protocol.
She eased herself down from the throne and limped towards the door, leaning heavily on her cane. The act of navigation itself had become steadily easier over her life as her mastery of it increased, but the physical after effects were getting more draining. Nothing she couldn't handle, at least for now. But there would come a time, when she couldn't move around under her own power any longer. Not yet, she thought fiercely, as she always did, and reached out with her free hand to key the opening combination for the chamber doors. Not yet, and not next time. After that, we'll see. The security team was still waiting outside for her, as though she'd been gone for 5 minutes instead of over 12 hours. Chetta flapped her free hand in acknowledgement of their steadfastness. Lord Vor is in there, she said without preamble. He's dead, and before you ask, he was like that when I found him. She knew her ferocious reputation with House Brabantis's servants, and saw no harm in playing on it, even in a self-deprecating manner. See that he's removed and prepared for burial. Lay him with my husband for now. They shared blood, at least.
Yes, my lady.
The sergeant nodded, and the team began to file past her. Chetta thrust her hand out to stop the last one in his tracks. Not you, she said. You go and find Ishell, and tell her to attend me immediately.
Where will you be, our lady?
The armsman asked, saluting. The bridge, of course, Chetta replied through gritted teeth as she made for the nearest service elevator, while her hip ground in its socket. She waited until she was out of earshot, then continued under her breath. There's a hole in the universe, and I need to take a closer look at it. Chetta had appointed Dechelle Duvois as her personal aide approximately 1 Terran year ago, and had been thoroughly satisfied with her performance ever since. She was a mere slip of a girl, with skin a few shades lighter than Chetta's own deep brown, and very short dark hair, into which she shaved patterns that were apparently of some significance to her parent culture, as was the delicately engraved collar of ebony metal she always wore around her throat. She was warp-blind, of course, and far from bold, but remarkably intelligent and very capable. Chetta was standing on the bridge of the Solarox, gazing out of the main viewport at where Gallimo Prime had once been. All around them was a mess of running lights, ships that had taken off from the planet just before the disaster, ones that had arrived expecting to find it, and various panicking fools who'd apparently decided that no solid ground was safe. Of course, they might be correct. What was to say that Gallimo's moons, the orbits of which Captain Arkaba was watching very closely indeed, wouldn't go next? Anecdotal data suggested that everything up to the very outer limits of Gallimo Prime's atmosphere had been pulled into a sudden yawning chasm. But ships beyond that level had escaped. Perhaps flying about and weeping in fear was actually the safest course of action. It would make about as much sense as anything else that was going on.
What do you see, my lady?
Dechelle asked. Foolishness, Chetta muttered. Foolishness and panic. She fought down the clawing sense of unease in her own gut. Leadership was about setting an example. House Brabantis might not be hers by birth, but so far as she was concerned, it was hers now. The ailing House de Castos had married her off for a short-term political gain that had availed them little in the years since, and were now heading towards becoming a footnote in history. Her children, each of them a hard-won victory against her body and her advancing age, were Brabantis. She was Brabantis, and she owed it to the House to lead it as well as she could.
We're being hailed by a patrol boat, Arkaba reported. They want to know why we're passing so close to the planet's former location.
Ask them whose authority they're questioning us under, given that the planetary governor, every member of his staff and the entire planet's administratum are currently lost in the warp somewhere, Chetta grunted.
Or you could perhaps inform them that the Lady Chetamande of Navigator House Brabantis is using her warp sight to assess the situation and determine whether it poses any further threat?
Dechelle suggested mildly. Arkaba snorted a laugh.
What would we do without your diplomacy skills, Dechelle?
Since I appointed her, those skills are technically mine via delegation, Chetta pointed out. I'm sure you can deal with them, Anya. Just hold our position steady for a little longer. I need to take a proper look at this.
She turned away, closed her physical eyes to shut out all distractions, and opened her third eye. It always felt blind at first in real space, as if she was staring into a lightless void. But as the seconds passed, things started to come into focus. There were the very faintest sparks of life from other ships, the souls of their crews as they skimmed the warp by the nature of their very existence. Here and there shone brighter lights, astropaths, perhaps, or other psychers, whose essences were more closely connected to the Imperium and so attracted her gaze more. But they weren't what she wanted to see.
She focused past and around them, looking for the warp echoes of Gallimo Prime's fate, and saw it almost instantly. It was a flickering wound hanging in space. Not active, not a portal through which a ship could pass, for example, but still something from which the energy of the warp could infinitesimally bleed. It was a ragged tear in... No. No, it wasn't. Chetta clenched her fingers on the head of her cane until her knuckles protested, and looked closer, forcing herself to concentrate. She had to be absolutely certain about this. She was absolutely certain about it. It wasn't a tear. It was a cut.
My lady?
Chetta realized she'd spoken out loud. She closed her warp eye and opened her physical ones, then turned around to see Dashiell regarding her with a look of concern. She debated whether to keep what she'd just learned to herself, then instantly decided against it. Such information was too important to risk on the continuing good health of one navigator. Captain, she called, motioning to Arkaba. Would you care to join us, please? Anya Arkaba's command throne floated majestically over to them, borne aloft by a combination of anti-grav motors and suspensor cables that disappeared into the bridge's vaulted ceiling. Arkaba was another Navy veteran. Although she and Chetta had never seen combat together, and what could be seen of her hair amidst the neutral interface cables dotting her scalp was an iron grey.
Hi, lady.
Chetta cleared her throat and kept her voice low. Keep this to yourselves for now. I don't want word to spread among the crew, because the crew will talk when we get back to Vorlisi. Which, incidentally, I want us back in the warp and heading for as soon as this conversation is over. I'll handle the translation here, but then I'll need whoever is next on the duty rota to take the rest of the journey. Dashiell and Arkaba both nodded dutifully. This was no accident or random warp storm, Chetta said simply, nodding in the direction of the absent planet. From what I can see, someone intended to drag Gallimo Prime into the warp, and they found a way to do just that.